them.
The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. Join gardener Peter Donegan and not-so-green-fingers Brian Green on Dublin City FM. Fridays, 3 p.m. The Sod Show. It'll grow on you. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
103.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show for another wet Friday afternoon in Dublin City. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm damp.
Yes.
I walked the East Wall Road.
I walked it with you, Brian.
And sillybilly.ie van splashed me.
Even though I was wet, that was actually funny.
It was funny, but to make up for it, seven swans swimming on the Talca.
That was a very pretty view.
That was nice to see.
We did pause. It was quite romantic.
Just not thanks, really. Thanks to Jerry there on the last show and listening to the news and back to something I was pressing you on last week on global warming.
You speak.
The sun guys are in town discussing sunspots and non-activity on the sun, and this has an impact on Earth's weather. And they, as you heard in the news, were saying that there's no activity. There's an 11-year cycle of activity on sunspots, and it's supposed to peak around 2012. It peaked in 2001, and it peaked in 1980. And I know this not because of weather things, but got to do with radio propagation, and you can hear people from all over the world on CB radio every 11 years. It isn't peaking at the moment, and we're going to have more Arctic winters, as you heard in the news. I asked you last week, got no answer. Does Peter think, as a gardener, that global warming is a reality? Is it happening?
In my opinion, yes.
But will this sun activity counteract that warming and give us colder Earth?
Ooh! Now you're putting me back on the spot.
Okay, I can hear
the giggles coming back in again. I think Dee Sewell, funnily enough, who was a guest later on the show, was chuckling at me last week and my hesitancy to speak on the matter.
Peter, get us an expert to answer that question.
If you know an expert or you are an expert on global warming, you can contact us. Do let us know. Actually, 087-977-1032 is the text number.
It will have an impact.
Get us on Twitter. Don't interrupt me.
Go ahead.
Hashtag Sodshow. And just that's how you get in touch with us.
A couple of weeks ago, you reported that for the first time in 3 years, your water butts in the garden had emptied of water.
That is very, very, very true.
So what we are having is drier springs, wetter summers and colder winters. This is, you know, typical Irish weather, but
worse. Yeah, but then you go back to 1985, or was it 1983, the big snow? Was that the big snow?
There was 81 and 87 were snow.
Well,
in January.
I remember. I vaguely remember the 81 snow period. And I remember my dad leaving the car at the bottom of the road. We lived south side at the time. I remember dad leaving the car at the bottom of the road. He couldn't get up it. And I think it was every school child's dream, the pipes had frozen, so we didn't have to go in.
Yes, the Tánaiste was acting as Taoiseach because Gareth Fitzgerald was in Spain.
God bless him.
God bless him, yes.
Yes, indeed. To today's show, Brian, what have we got on the go?
We have an interview with aforementioned Dee Sewell about community gardening.
Love it.
We picked this up at the Battle of the Boyne site when she was talking, and we just had some deeper questions about community gardening and how it works.
So we got back onto her.
We did, and we'll be going to that a little later on. What we will also be bringing you is our famous Song of the Week. And
I didn't pick it this week, so you are entirely at fault. For those who don't like and want to heckle Brian, hashtag
it was,
Sideshow, tell him he's a pup.
I was on general strike, and it was me that picked it.
Aha.
We also are going to do our park life, and we're going to look at a garden I know, or knew before today's programme, little about, and it's Dove Lane Gardens, and it is at Dublin Castle.
Beautiful little park.
Later in the programme we'll be
beautiful
talking about that.
Park, yeah.
We've got our plant and tool of the week, and we'll also...
Is that back on?
Yeah, we're returning to an extended look at work for the week, because we've been just not doing any work, have we?
No, you haven't been doing any work. I tried to say this last week, and then you I don't know. But it's not that I haven't been doing work for the week. I have been doing work for the week. I do it every week. You haven't. And we hadn't mentioned it on the show.
Let's go to our aforementioned guest and interview. This is Dee Sewell speaking about community gardening.
So on the line I have Dee Sewell. Dee, how are you? Been a long time since we... Well, it's been a couple of weeks since we spoke. The last time was at the Old Bridge Country... Just after the Old Bridge Country Fair talks. How have you been since?
Very well, thank you, Peter. Bit of a change in the weather, but...
Yeah, slight bit of it. Well, that goes with the seasons and the months, of course, and it's been about a season since we last met.
Yeah.
Dee, you were last talking to us about community gardens, or you were last talking to the Sodshow listeners about community gardens.
Yeah.
What's happened since we last had our chat, or you were last on air?
Well, I've been working, I'm with two community gardens at the moment. I just finished with one last week. They just had a 6-week course that I helped them get started, so they're on their own now, but two ongoing, so very busy.
And whereabouts are those two gardens?
One is in Gorsebridge, County Kilkenny, and the other's in Bagnallstown, County Carlow.
And just to break this down for people once again, for those who missed the last one maybe, with community gardens, the garden, well, the location of them, it's not, this isn't allotment gardening. It's far from it.
It's quite different, yeah. I think allotments tend to be strips that individuals work on or families, whereas a community garden is a shared garden. So everybody turns up, they all muck in, they share the planting and the sowing, and then they share all the spoils at the end, if you like.
And the picture also that I'm getting, Dee, is that it doesn't or wouldn't necessarily entirely include vegetables.
No, it's up to the groups, really, but my focus is mostly on vegetables. But then, you know, you can grow one of the gardens. We've got a bed of flowers that will be for cutting, you know, to save people buying their own cut flowers. They can take them from the garden.
I like cut flowers.
You know, there'd be lots of flowers there that attract insects and beneficial, insects. So.
Something I've been harping on about for a while now.
Yeah. So we try, yeah, so although it's mostly veg, the ones I'm working with are mostly veg, there's a lot of flowers encouraged in there as well, so.
Dee, Brian here, you mentioned that people share in the input and they share in the spoils of community gardening.
Yeah.
Cynics would say that people don't share things, everybody's greedy. How does that kind of work in practice, that everyone gets, you know, equal, you know, slices of cake?
Well, I suppose last year at Gorsebridge now was a bit trial and error. It was their first year, so some people would take a little bit more and some people were a bit shy to take stuff. So this year they're encouraging more swaps. So if somebody brings in some seeds from home, they get to take some plants home afterwards. And also they put a little bit of money in, might be 50 cent even, but that goes in the kitty and that helps to pay for tools or more seeds or compost. So...
And people aren't half as greedy as the cynics actually thought in the first place.
They're not at all, actually, no, because I think when you've been working together with a group of people for several weeks or months, then, you start to get to know each other very well. So I think if somebody were a bit greedy, somebody might point it out to them. So
one of the things I picked up from your talk in Old Bridge Country Fair was that one of the massive side benefits of community gardening is the social aspect, that it is a whole dimension that's very important to how the success of a group will go, and what people get out of it individually is not just the gardening tips and experience and leveraging from experienced people to beginners, but that they meet people.
Absolutely, they meet people, and they meet people of completely different social economic situations, and I suppose Some will get on or not at the beginning, but usually it gels into a group of maybe 10 or 15 people who could be quite different. The group I just finished with, predominantly were active retired, but there was lots of younger people there as well, and quite younger actually, still at school age and then maybe mid-20s. So it was a real mix, and they were learning from each other. And I think the older people enjoyed the enthusiasm and the energy of the younger ones, and the younger ones, you know, could respect and listen to some of the tips and tales from the older ones.
And another beneficiary would obviously be the community that they are working in, that the community gets something of worth in the garden, but that the community gets, you know, the coming together of people to share in what they're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. That perhaps is more obvious in a smaller community, you know, in a village environment. In a larger town-type environment, I suppose, that wouldn't be as noticeable.
And you've set up a few and you get people up and running and then you retreat and let them run it themselves. Is there an organisation chart to kind of, you know, is there a leader that runs the group or how is that organised?
Well, they're all quite different, and actually the Organic Centre put together a really good publication that you can download off their website on people who are trying to set them up, and they're suggesting committees. The ones I've worked with, one was set up by the Rural Development Office, so they kind of primarily run it in the background. Another one is set up by the Family Resource Centre. So again, they would be, you know, publicising it and managing it, if you like. And, yeah, so I suppose they all work slightly differently.
Do you mention to Brian just there about people who were, as you said, a little bit older?
Yeah.
When I was, let me break this down. I was called Mister last week.
Yeah.
By a kid.
Right.
I that's the first time
I
looked ever
around to see where your dad was.
Yeah. But he kind of went, "Here, Mister," you know, gives me ball back, the usual thing. And I was, am I a Mister? I mean, I remember calling inverted commas old men Mister when I was seven.
Yeah.
Do you get where I'm coming from?
It's a process of getting old.
It's a process of, it is, Brian, but it depends. Like, and that's, so when you say old, I mean, to me, old is like anything 1 year older than me because I have, you know, I'm from a family of 10, etc. What age range are you talking? Is it 50 to a bazillion? Is it 30?
8 to 80.
Is it 8 to 80?
Yeah, the particular group I mentioned there, it was the active retired group who...
Okay, yes. Okay.
So that kind of age group. But, you know, it's all ages. And it is all ages who turn up. And definitely, you know, it could be... It could be somebody who lives on the housing estate, and it could be who lives out more in the countryside in the big house, but they're all getting together. And actually, once they're there, you might not even know the backgrounds of people.
Which is often not a bad thing.
Yeah, you know, you could be working with them for weeks, and you don't really, they might not talk about outside their home life. It's about the garden or about, you know, what's going on in the world, but not necessarily about themselves.
Dee Sewell, for the second time this season, it has been an absolute pleasure to listen to you and to talk to you.
Thank you very much. I look forward
to talking to you for a third time. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Take care.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate
Bye.
It, Dee.
Okay. Ooh, I made it to the grapevine, and I'm
just about to lose my mind. Honey, honey, yeah. The Sod Show, Friday, 3 p.m, Dublin City FM.
That was Dee Sewell from greensideup.ie, where you can find out more information. Thank you so much, Dee. It was an absolute honour and a pleasure to talk to her.
She mentioned one other website. Theorganiccentre.ie is where you can get that information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. Peter?
Yes, Brian?
You're wearing something new today.
Ah, yes, 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 yes. In between all of the rain splashed weather that I did enjoy taking our leisurely stroll through, Malone's Cleaning Products sent myself and Brian two t-shirts. Fair play to them, I have to say. Thank you so much, Malone's. The t-shirts say the grass is always cleaner on them, Malone's and the Sod Show. Apparently, they are the official cleaning products to the Sod Show.
Whatever we would get up to cleaning, that would be. What does it say on my back, actually? Because this is
turn around, hold on a sec. The greener cleaner, Malone's. Hold on, stand up. Official cleaning products to the Sod Show. No, fair play, fair play. They're the first t-shirts we've ever been sent.
It's the first time I've had a t-shirt with my nickname on the back, Greener.
Hey!
Tool and Plant Hire. Oh. Not Tool and Plant Hire, Tool and Plant of the Week.
What is wrong? You had a blip it last week, actually.
I did.
A brain freeze, as you call it.
But I got over it. But
I got over it,
too. That was just wordplay. Tool and Plant of the Week.
Tool and Plant of the Week. This week has to be my hedge cutters. Not a hedge trimmer, a hedge cutters. This will take about 2 inches of woody growth. And by God almighty, did it earn its keep. If you are going to do one thing well, if you're getting involved in tools, I'm a firm believer in it. Buy once, buy well. Research before you buy and make sure you're buying exactly what you need. A hedge cutters will take about 2 inches of growth. It's a good, sturdy piece of kit. What I would buy would be about maybe 350, 400 quid. So it sounds a bit silly, but bear in mind, I would probably be cutting this week. I probably used it for maybe 22 man-hour units, where that's 3 days of solid cutting hedges.
Can I ask you a question about hedge cutters? We're talking about the ones where they kind of they mesh and they move back and forward, and
that's the cutting
action. It looks like it's not a chainsaw which goes around and around. This is a kind of an in-out action.
Two sets of teeth moving back
so,
and forward.
So you've got one of these. Maybe you haven't spent as much as you were mentioning on it, and you're going at your own hedge. Do you? And it gets stuck, and it's kind of working on. So it's trying to work in there, and the branch is stuck in the hedge cutters. Do you hold it on in there, or do you take it out and go for something easier? What do you do?
Take it out. Now, I spoke with Bernie Goldback about this. Bernie was saying he wanted to buy an electric hedge cutters. Not for me, I have to say. Not for me. Mine is petrol driven. It takes a 2-stroke oil mix in with it. It's a fairly sturdy piece of kit, but I think, you know, there's, as the fella says, it's using a mini to transport the truck, or to use the truck to transport the mini.
Another question on hedge cutters. Brian, are we talking exclusively electric, or is there any point in looking at anything?
No, for me,
two-stroke or?
I'm a big believer in it. I think it reminds me of the old hardware stores. You know, one of those you went in and you asked for a bolt for the 1972 Zanussi washing machine, and the guy pulled one from behind the back of his ear. He is one of those that has everything. I firmly believe there are specialists in machinery, garden machinery products in particular. Go search the guys out. You'll find them on the web. Other than that, send me an email or check me up on the blog, and I'll give you a couple of links that way.
Okay. Before you do plant of the week,
yes,
something I saw on Euronews during the week was Leaf Snap. This is an app for your iPhone and other smarty phones, right?
Yes.
And with it, you basically turn on the app and you point your camera at a leaf of a plant.
Yep.
And this is says
not a leaf of a plant, leaf of a tree.
A leaf of a tree.
Mm-hmm.
No plants. No.
Don't think the directory would stem back that far.
Okay.
See what I did there?
You put a stem pun in. Very good. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to ask our listeners if anybody has Leaf Snap and have they trialled it and how is it going for you. We'll be trialling it ourselves on Peter's iPhone very shortly, and we also hope to talk to the guys behind Leaf Snap. They've got this database that recognises the shape of a leaf from the camera.
Yeah, the only problem I had was the last time I had opportunity to use it, I was camping down at Loch Ennell, and guess what? 0 3G connection, so it was pointless in that context, and you need to be there where it is. So, you know, that was the only downfall.
There's no database on board inside the phone.
I'm guessing, I'm second guessing if it did, because I went to do what it's intended to do, which is to photograph a leaf to suck it into their database and go, da-na, that's what it is.
If you've trialed Leaf Snap, do get us on Twitter, hash Sod Show, and let us know what you think of it, and we'll cover that in the coming weeks. Plant of the week,
yeah, I'm hesitant to say it, but it has to be the berberis. And the berberis is a thorny plant that flowers. It has cut my legs and my arms to absolute smithereens this week. I am in bits. I mean that in the very truest sense of the word. I am an absolute tatters. I look like a raggy doll on a bad hair day. It's no joke. But for that reason, I should dislike it. But it's an absolutely wonderful plant from a wildlife point of view. The fact that it's thorny, the fact that it's evergreen, the fact that it produces berries. It gets a bit of a bad rap by gardeners. I dislike planting it in gardens that I know we'll have to call back to. However,
our song of the week should have been Ripper to Shreds by Blondie, but we don't have it. This is ripped you to shreds. Is there no better way to deal with it if you, the expert, are getting cut up by it?
Well, I don't know. But look, it's like saying, you know, I don't know. How do you say it? The weather's always been a bit myxomatosis in Ireland as far as I've been concerned. I think there are thorny plants. I think there are pretty plants. I think there are plants that are extremely functional. And usually you'll find that the ugly plants give beautiful flowers, or the less pretty flower gives a better scent along those lines. So I knew what I was getting into before. I started growing plants under my bed when I was 5. Knew what I was getting into before I went to college, Brian. Now he's getting into the forest, set up my own business.
So the answer is there's no better way to deal with this plant.
No, you just climb up into the hedge, be a man about it, and get on with the program and cut the thing back. But, you know, there you are.
Okay.
Berberis is my plant of the week. Go out and buy one. You will possibly not thank me for it, but they are well, well worthwhile if you do have the space for them.
Name check again?
Berberis. Berberis. My favourite is, I think it's the Berberis X-Star Winnii.
Very nice, very nice. Let's go for Song of the Week, and it's my choice this week.
Yes, I haven't a clue what this is.
You don't? It's Henrietta Game, and a song called, the first single, Sleep Then, and they're launching their LP this evening on the docks here in Dublin.
Where are they launching it?
They're launching it on the Jeannie Johnson.
We will be there.
Hopefully, if it is stops raining. Let's have a listen to Henrietta Game, Sleep Then. Dublin City FM, Henrietta Game, Sleep Then, their single, launching their LP tonight.
Next week, I'm going to put a link up on facebook.com/Donegan Landscaping, and I'm going to do what we did about 2-3 weeks ago and ask people to nominate what they think should be Tune of the Week. No offence to Henrietta Game.
Absolutely. I like that track. Listener involvement. Always welcome.
What connection did that have to gardening?
Absolutely none. I'm going to be blatant about it. None.
That's the first week.
We've had 15 songs of the week out of 16 weeks. One week we dropped it and it was very controversial with you.
Oh.
Yeah.
We didn't talk for about 3 minutes.
Yes. And what we're going to do someday is maybe release them all on a compilation CD via your blog or something.
We should do that. That's blog.donegallandscaping.com, where you'll find the audio for this later on, as a by the way.
Work for the week.
Oh, work for the week. Yeah, listen, I was talking to a couple of the lads about this, so here's work for the week. Go out, find one spot in your garden. Do you know the one that you get into trouble for, Brian?
The yellow spot where the posters are, yeah.
Well, that may not be the same. It may not replicate itself into every garden. But what I've found is that people tend to have... Sorry, Brian. Yes?
I have two minutes.
Yeah. All right, he's waving his fingers. So I thought he was making a peace symbol. It was like Bono-esque there beside me. But yeah, go out and find that little spot in the garden and just either, please, do yourself a favour. Do me a favour. Rip it out of the garden. Grass it in, grass it over. Michael Nugent, my good friend, put in a new lawn for him on Monday.
Park for the week.
Oh, we're totally changing the subject.
We're running out of time.
Go ahead.
We're going to do our...
Dublin Gardens.
Dublin, it's the city you live in, Dublin. It's the Dublin. They used to do a dot over the B. That got you Dublin. It's at the Dublin Castle.
Yes.
Which castle? Dublin Castle. And here's the thing. The Scandinavians used to have a lake there, Blackpool. That's where the Dublin comes from. And it's underneath... Dublin Castle area. They built over the.
It's where the puddle
ran as a tributary into the Liffey, and on that they've built a circular garden at the castle. Tell us about it quickly.
Very briefly, if you look at it, it's supposed to represent eels. Is originally what it was meant to do, but the eyes of the eels actually double up as a helicopter landing pad.
Completely flat garden.
Entirely flat.
And this is a circular garden, which is unusual in itself. And what they can do is they can land big helicopters down into Dublin
Slap
Castle.
Bang in the middle of it. It is brilliant. But there are four little gardens off on the sides of it. One is for the guys from the Special Olympics. I know one was for Veronica Guerin. I know there was a new one put in. I think that's dedicated to the guys at the Garda Síoc Cána. I'm not too sure. I know there's a fourth one. If you do know, just let us know. Hashtag a touch out. I actually can't remember now, Brian, off the top of my head.
It's gated, but it's open to the public during the daylight hours, and you would encourage people to get down there. I've never been in this place.
Yeah, the only time is if you reckon there's something kind of stately on, do phone in advance just to make sure. But a brilliant place for a picnic, and it's slap bang in the middle of Dublin city centre. An absolute gem of a place, so serene and beautiful.
I watched your video from there on the blog, and it's an amphitheatre. The sound is wonderful
in
there.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely beautiful.
So get yourself down to Dublin Gardens, Dublin Castle. Check it out. Tell us what you think.
That's all we have time for this week, folks. Do let me know how you get on the great outdoors. Take care. Bye for now.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.